Testing, 1, 2, 3. How does that sound, everybody? Is that okay? Okay. Thank you, sir. All is well with my soul. Isn't that a beautiful piano piece? It does fit rather well into our message for today. All is well with us. Not because of what we've done this past week or what we've accomplished or not necessarily how good we have been, because we're not always good, but truly all is well with our soul because of Jesus. Isn't that the case? We have peace with God through Jesus. And this morning, we're going to talk about the fact that we have this peace, all is well with us, because of whom God has made us into, namely, His church. Do you know your place in the church? Well, I think, I'm looking around here, and I think most of you do. I see you guys every Sunday in this second row. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Well, sometimes you're on that side. And I could go on, couldn't I? Bill, in the back pew. Wow. I think we know our place in the church. And we're so committed to that place, aren't we? I remember a number of years ago at Redeemer when we first had our new facility and we had a Saturday night service. And the congregation was not that large on Saturday night. The cheap church seated some 500-600 people. So I had this idea. I thought I'll put a rope and rope off the whole back section of the church and bring people forward. Doesn't that sound like a good idea? Well, I came out in the sanctuary and was coming out to start and so on, and I looked and the rope was gone. And everybody took their seat where they wanted to be. And boy, did I get phone calls on Monday morning. But you do have a place in the church. And I don't mean where you're seated now, and I'm not even talking about this building, really. Because, you know, when we look at the New Testament and we see this word church, ecclesia, it's basically talking about the people of God who have been called out of the world. We're in the world, right? But we're not of the world. It's God's people. That's what the church is. And this morning I want to just briefly talk about, on the basis of God's word, our place in the church. 3 points to consider, really. Number one, we're where we are in the church. Number one, by God's grace. Number two, in this place God calls the church, of which we're a part, well, it's identified as a community. And thirdly, it's a community with a purpose. The Apostle Paul talks about in his letter to the Ephesian Christians, he focuses on the church, the body of believers. As is always the case, it seems, in the epistles, when Paul addresses these various church families throughout Asia Minor, he's talking about issues and problems that can arise in the church. And so what he does is he basically says, we need to remember who we are. people of God. And it all begins with God's grace. God did not choose you or me or members of his church, the Holy Christian Church, communion of, this is dialogue, communion of saints. Good. God brought us in. God made us part of his family. And by the way, that's still going on. Despite the challenges to the church, I was very disappointed, I should say, I guess, this morning I happened to turn on the news on television. And what I usually do is listen to Christian music, you know, to get started. But this was all about too much talking about God in politics. God is everything to us. His word. We just recited the Ten Commandments. God's will and way for our lives. This is what is going to be best for you. Follow my way and my will for you, and you will be blessed. It'll be a good thing. Fight against my will and my way, and it will be a rough thing. It will be a tough thing. And you could be lost. Because you can't turn to yourself. You can only by grace turn to me. That's the truth, isn't it? And we're called by God in his church to be active and aggressive and confrontational in love with the cross of Christ. Stand up and be counted. Who are you? I'm a Christian. I'm a member of God's family. It's because of him alone. It's because of his love and forgiveness for me. Isaiah 43:1, you know the verse. It's often written on baptismal banners. I have called you by name. You are mine. This is good. Yes, it's true, isn't it? I've called you by name. You are mine. That's God speaking. And he's speaking to your heart. He's speaking to our hearts. I have called you by name. I have chosen you. I have selected you. You belong to me. Whether you know it or not, you belong to me. And whether you recognize it or not, I'm committed to you. And even when you turn your back on me and are going a different direction, you know that sinning in thought, word, and deed, God says what? I'm still committed to you. Why? Because he loves us. For God so loved the world. Put your own name in there. For God so loved Kathy, Jamie, Richard, that he gave his one and only son. What's your place in the church? What's your place in his body, the Holy Christian Church? In the world, but not of it. That means not committed to it, but committed to what? God. Who's bringing this world to a conclusion, but before that happens, things will happen. People's lives will be changed yet for him. By God's grace. I mean, truly every moment of our lives is a thank you, God moment, isn't it? I mean, I don't say it enough. I don't think about it enough. I go on with my life. I set my schedule in place, and I always try to remember where I'm preaching because, you know, when you get to be my age, Chris, you got to write stuff down. And I had this dream one night. I thought, am I going to the right place? You know what I mean? Could you imagine showing up? I show up here and Chris says, well, I'm preaching today. I go, oh my goodness, where am I preaching? I never want that to happen. It almost did one time. But we're all committed and we're all connected because of God. You didn't decide to be here today. By His Holy Spirit and the conviction within you that God loves you and cares for you and His forgiveness is poured out for you every moment and second of your life, God has brought you here. Could be somewhere else. When I was driving through Pekin coming over here today, I saw a couple of young people sitting on a curb. I don't know who they were, but I knew where I was going, and I prayed for those two people. I don't know their name. Another gentleman was walking with a backpack and headed down the street in a rather quick fashion. You see all these people. You see them every day. And God's love is for them. God's love is for us by grace. So we are in the church, in His body, the Holy Christian and Apostolic Church. We're in His church. We're members of His family because of His choosing. Not a bad idea, maybe, when we wake up in the morning to say, oh, by the way, God, thank you for choosing me. Amen. Amen. Not a bad idea. Remembering who we are. And that He has us in His hand. Our place within the church. In Ephesians 2:13, we have been brought into the family of God by the blood of Christ. That's what Paul says. We've been brought into the family of God by the blood of Christ. What does that mean? Well, you know what His shed blood on the cross means for us, right? Our sins are covered, they're forgiven in His blood. We have been brought into His family by His shed blood. We're so blessed. And we have such peace, even though we don't draw on it enough in our lives. We don't. We get to thinking it's all about me rather than it's all about God and what He's done for me. Thank you, Jesus, for bringing me into Your body. The church is unique. It's special. Our place in that church is called a community. There's no place for lone wolves in the church. I mean by that, you're going to bump up against somebody. Somebody's going to look at you. Somebody's going to talk with you. Somebody's going to encourage you. In Ephesians 2:19, Paul says, we are fellow citizens with God's people and members of His household. Boy, that sounds rather personal to me. It really sounds like we're one. Citizens, right, and members of His household. Well, you know what a citizen does in this? What do you do as a citizen in this country? Well, this fall you're going to vote. Okay. You're going to participate. You're going to pay taxes for the good of the country and the good of all. You're going to volunteer in various ways to be part of what we call citizenship in this country. God says, I want to use that term and help you understand that you're also citizens. Heaven, you're citizens with me in this community called the church. And that's relationships, that's responsibilities, that's commitment to God and to one another. Relationships in the community. Last Friday, fish fry. Awesome, by the way. I ate too many fish, but that's okay. Whenever I get into a community and I look around and I like to be very, observant. I like to watch people. And I saw a whole lot of love going on. By that I mean people encouraging one another, people working together, people enjoying one another's presence. It's family of God. That was a good thing. Community brings wholeness and the peace of God, which passes our understanding, certainly, to us, in us, and through us. How many people were non-members? Do you have any idea how many were non-members that came? Wow! Woo! That's incredible. In fact, I was very excited because I saw some people who I knew that weren't members here, and I said, where are they from? They're from Manitou. I preached over there a couple weeks ago. I said, man, this is a moving body, the church, you know? And they were interacting with you guys, and it was really, but that's what the community of God is all about. Reaching out, encouraging, and being there as God's people grow. In Galatians 6:10, boy, God lays something on us here pretty heavy. As we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. To all people. But especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Let us do good to all people. Let us put the best construction on everything. Let's be there for people. And when we can't assist or care for them, let us at least try to help them get the care, the need, the assistance, and the encouragement they need. Especially to the household of faith. Why is that so important that Christians get along? What do you think? What do you think that's so important? Well, who's looking at us? God, of course, is, but who else is looking at us? The world. The world is looking at us. Unbelievers are looking at us. People who are maybe teetering on the brink of, I'm not sure about Jesus, I'm not sure about the church. And then what do they see sometimes? Not so good things. Christians battling each other. In the early church, Paul was real, boy, they were really big about this. Look, you guys got a disagreement, you got to settle it within yourself. Don't go to the public arena. I've had people say to me from time to time, these would be people who are not members of our church, but in the community. And I remember one time a guy said to me, you know what, you guys are hypocrites. You talk about love and forgiveness, and all you do is battle each other. And I said, well, let me share one thing with you that's so very, very important. The church is a hospital for sinners. It's not a country club for saints. The church is a hospital for sinners. I think we have to remember that. What is a hospital then? Well, hopefully a hospital and those in it would reach out and care for people, right? They would help people get back into their life. They would, And who's the head of our hospital? Jesus. And by the power of his Spirit, lives are healed, lives are changed. But what? We still battle this sinful, fallen nature. It's like I just got healed, and now I have something else going on. That's our life. But Christ is there. God is with us. He changes us. He heals us. He reflects us. He forgives us. The church, the body of Christ, the household of faith, that's where you are. And that's your place. Not in the pew or in this building, but within the family of God. Citizens and members of God's household. I want you to do something this morning for me, very quickly. Turn to your neighbor. I don't care if it's your spouse. That's okay too, because this is good. Just say, I love you because of Jesus. Do it right now.
I love you because of Jesus.
Amen. Isn't that true? Wouldn't that feel good? We don't say that enough either. But that's who we are. We're a community. And we're here for one another because God is always here for us. And then finally, we have a place in the church. You do. And you have a purpose. And that's to grow. God calls us in. God works in our heart, and God sends us out. That's our place in the church. In 1 Peter 2:5, you, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Ephesians 2:20, built upon the foundation of the prophets and apostles, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. Ephesians 2:22, we are being built together. We got a building progress. We got a building program going on. Somebody said, has your church ever had a building program? Hey, we're in it right now. Not talking about brick and stone, but here, the Spirit of God at work in us and through us. When Jesus appeared to the disciples, as he did on so many occasions, he said to them in John 20, as the Father has sent me to you, I am now sending you to others. We saw a bit of that, didn't we, on Friday night? And each of you have been equipped by God with abilities, gifts, and service to touch others in his name. What is the whole purpose? To grow his family in this place, which God calls the church. So when you come in next Sunday and you sit down in your place, be reminded, God, be reminded, my place, not here, only here, there, but in God's family. To participate and to grow and be an encourager for the sake of his kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
And all God's people said, amen.